Lord Jesus, we just thank you for a wonderful time tonight. We thank you a lot, Lord, for your anointing on all of us, Father. And I thank you for it. Lord, I want to lift up Lee and his family. And I want to lift up his baby. And I command the forces that are irritating that baby to cease right now in the name of Jesus. And I command you by the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ to quit irritating that baby and tormenting that baby right now in Jesus' name. We command it by the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ that that baby from now on will be able to eat and to sleep and to be a happy baby in Jesus' name. Father, we just thank you for putting your joy and your peace upon this family in Jesus' name. Lord, we're looking forward to the great and wonderful testimony of what you've done for this family. We praise you, Lord, and we glorify you for the work you're doing in Leonard's family in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that Josiah is healed, delivered, and set free in Jesus' name. And he's normal, and he's healthy, and he's yours, Lord. And I thank you for it. I thank you, Lord, that Leonard has been faithful to you, and his wife has been faithful to you, Lord, because they know that you're in charge, Lord. And I thank you for complete deliverance and freedom from this torment and that baby in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I praise you, Father, for the peace in that household now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. And Lord, I thank you for helping all of our families. And I know, Lord, you're going to do a mighty work. You're already doing a mighty work in all of our families. And I just praise you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, that the people that we've been praying for are coming in already. They're coming in. We're calling out to those dry bones to come alive, come alive. And we thank you, Father, that you're bringing them alive and you're bringing them in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, for draining the swamp up there in D.C., Washington, D.C. And I thank you, Lord, that we're going to see the effects of that here shortly. And I know, Lord, it's going to be to your glory, not to Trump's, not to anybody else, but to you, Lord. You're going to get the glory in this, just like you did when Moses went across the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army was swamped. And Father, we thank you for doing that up there in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just lift up everybody to you on this conference call, Lord. And we thank you for your great infilling of your Holy Spirit, that it would be powerful, powerful walk in your name, Lord, and in Christ, every one of us, be obedient to the Word of God. And no criticism, no judgmental attitudes, no any kind of irritation in any of us, Lord, because we know that we have your joy, we have your peace, and we have your rest inside of us. And we only want to obey your word. And it makes no difference who comes against us in the flesh. We're just going to keep our eyes focused on you, Lord, and not worry about it. Turn the other cheek, Lord, just like you told, and bless those who curse us. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, for teaching us how to walk this walk of humbleness and meekness and this obedient walk you've got us on. And I praise you for it, Father. And I thank you, Lord, it doesn't make any difference what our eyes and our ears see. We know that they're all saved that we've been praying for, because you promised us that in household salvation. You promised it when we pray for somebody and we believe what we prayed that we shall have it. And I believe it, and I'm sticking to it. And I thank you for saving all of those family members and friends that we've been lifting up for so many years, that it's fixing to happen quickly. And I praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for tonight's outreach and conference call. I just like to call it a fellowship, Lord, because we love each other. You've placed love in our hearts for each other. And it's an awesome time to be with God's people. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anybody else? Anybody want to pray? Leonard, you're going to see victory very quickly. That's what the Lord said. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I just feel it all over me, Leonard. I feel that baby's coming. He's being healed. He is.
Absolutely.
I believe it.
We receive it.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, he is. Okay, anybody else want to pray? Would like prayer. Yep. Amen. Thank you,
I'll
Lord.
I'll offer something, but it's something I was struggling with the last couple of weeks, and it wasn't until the last Sunday's teaching with Pamela Orr that I got some understanding on this. You know, I'm over it now, but I had to fight for this. I had to fight. I had a besetting sin come on me. But it wasn't something I wanted, but it was something that was trying to overcome me. And what happened was a couple weeks ago, 3 weeks ago or so, I was at my mom's trailer cleaning things up, getting things done, and one of the neighbors passed by, and it was a good-looking woman, and she smiled at me, and I smiled back. She said hi. I said hi. And then she looked at me again and smiled again, and I thought, wow, that's strange. You know, I used to be in this kind of thing, but then, right then, the attack in my mind was, oh, you know, it's a good-looking woman. She's looking at you. That thing was starting to work on me. And I just, you know, cast it off. Oh, that's no big deal. But, you know, that was working on me. That was working on me, and I couldn't, it'd come out and creep on me, and, oh, she said hi. And I, what is this? What's going on? And I would cast it off, and it was starting to irritate me. I'd go to work, and it irritated me. And at home, my mind would start drifting on that. So what am I drifting on this for? You know, it's like, and I couldn't understand it, but I knew it was an attack, but I was trying to deal with that and fight it. But I didn't want it. That was my old me. That was what I used to be. I used to just draw to that and just run for that. That would send me running. That was the old Dave. You know, the old Dave would just run with that stuff. But the old Dave was trying to come back, the old flesh, and I haven't experienced him in a while. And so I was battling that, and I thought, you know, I haven't seen this in a while, so it was really strange. I haven't had to deal with that feeling, and it was making me irritable, and it making me irritable with others because I was, you know, felt like I was having this struggle, not that she was always occupying my mind, but it would come in. And I would lie to nowhere, and I think, you know, I might see my mind go with it. And I thought I'd shut it down, and I was thinking, why am I struggling with this thing? And it affected me a little bit at work. I got a little irritable with somebody at work because they were going off on things they shouldn't have been going off. But I'm very just go with it, and I'd be very amicable or whatever. The spirit of the Lord be on me, and I wouldn't get under my skin. But things were getting under my skin. You know, I was getting frustrated. And I thought, wow, this is really starting to affect me in a lot of ways. And I knew it was a spiritual struggle. I knew I was going through a struggle here. But I knew at the same time it was something that the Lord was trying to bring me through or something. And I'm trying to understand. And it wasn't until last week when we all started fasting. I found out what was going on with the fasting. I started fasting. Then I started getting the victory on this thing, but where it wasn't hitting me, because they wake me up at night and I'd be thinking, why am I thinking like this? I just go shut it down. And I realized that I had to not confess it. I didn't want this to be in my flesh. I did not want my flesh to have any victory. I wanted to be transparent. So I thought I was trying to hide sin, but as much as I had to struggle with this, and I thought, why am I struggling? It's like I haven't had this struggle in a while. But maybe this is what we do sometimes. It's like we have something in the back of us that we just kind of are able to push off and push aside, but until it comes to a place where, hey, wait a minute, I've got to show this. I've got to explain this is what I went through for the flesh to realize, hey, there's no hiding place for Satan in my life. There's no hiding place for anything that can be in this body of Christ that has to have be pure and fresh. We can't have, not that this is love and teaching, but it's leaven within us that has to come out. So I just wanted to confess that I had to go through that. I mean, I got the victory now, but still I just wanted to confess in case it comes back. I don't want to have Satan have anything in me. And so, but it was bringing other things too. It was starting to bring anger, frustration, getting, you know, easily irritated with others, where I normally, after having been spirit-filled and more being in this body, things didn't bother me so much. But I felt this coming on me. And I was struggling, and I was casting it off. And it wasn't until I did the fast, like I said, and then I thought, well, I'm just going to confess this in front of the body, that this is what I had to go through. And I didn't want this to be a hindrance to my life or anybody else, you know. Anyways, I just wanted to bring that out.
Amen. Well, thank you for it. That helped some people, I bet you. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Okay, Leon. Yeah, go ahead, brother.
I wanted to ask Dave, if you don't mind sharing, what in particular about that testimony or that dream that Pamela had that gave you the victory? If you can share it or not, I don't know. And I won't, I mean, I'm not judging you either way, but if you could, that'd be good.
Well, I started getting the victory once I started doing the fasting, because I knew once I started fasting, I could cast things off and it would leave, and it did definitely left. But what bothered me was I had to go through that, and I thought, why couldn't I cast that off? Why was I struggling with this? Why was my flesh allowing, having so much victory in my life at this point? The fasting helped, but also I realized, you know, it's very important that you, when you go through a struggle like this, not to try to keep it to yourself, to bring it out in front of others, so everybody else, because you aren't giving your flesh any opportunity to have any victory in your life. You want it to be crucified. I don't want my flesh to have victory in my life. I know we're getting to a point here that our flesh cannot be allowed to have any kind of foothold where it's going to hinder us in our walk. And I'm not saying we're not going to stumble here and there. I'm saying when we all of a sudden get this thing that all of a sudden jumps on us and it's besetting, I had to look it up. What is besetting? Besetting is something that's constantly assailing you. She says she was being assailed. I was being assailed. And I thought, this is what I used to go through. I thought, man, I used to be driven. And this was trying to drive me. And I wasn't letting it drive me, but I had to stand my ground. But it still would take me sometimes. I'd catch it, and I said, no. I had to go through this struggle. But it's also something that it's a surrounding kind of attack, you know. And it gets you on all the sides, especially when it just kind of hits you when you don't expect it. It'd be like a boxer, all of a sudden you get smacked, you know, or be fighting, and you didn't see that one coming. That's what was happening to me. So I figured, you know, just to make sure that I've got victory on this, I want to come out and confess this too. Because I don't want to have this thing have any kind of foothold in my life. It's important not to allow anything that can all of a sudden surround you and attack you and push you for a length of time to, it's good to come out in front of the body and say, hey, this is what's happening to me. This is what I had to go through so that, or what I experienced, so that we as a body can say, ah, you know, we see it. We're not judgmental, but we can see where Satan has this ability to actually walk in and still push us around a little bit. Even though we're somewhat, you know, have a victory in our life, which I didn't have ever before. I mean, I had, when I got baptized with the Holy Spirit, I had to confess a lot of my sins to Michael and others. And Paul Reimel, I was just trying to flush myself. And then I was able to get the victory, and I was able to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I still had to get some other victories in my life. But I had to do a lot of confessing of my sin. But you know what happens is, I think sometimes we get kind of sedate in this walk with our Lord. We start feeling like, hey, you know, we're doing okay, and we're not thinking that we're better and that we're, you know, so much more on top of the world because we're in this special walk. But we kind of forget about that confessing sin. And by doing it, we allow ourselves to not let the flesh have a victory, not let the flesh, the old man, still rule. And that's the point we want to have in our life here. That's what we're really trying to achieve. We're trying to have the old man be put to death so that a new man can walk. That's what the sons of God was all about. And by having this victory, constant victory in life, if it means, you know, making the flesh be humble and admit to something that you don't want to admit, as embarrassing as it might seem, that's what we got to do. That's what it takes to put that old man down. That's why it's important for us to listen to what was said, that God said, hey, listen, repentance, that was good. I was on that track, but I was still having struggle. All right. And then I got the fasting going and I started getting my victory. But then also the important part, hey, confess it. Let others see. Let others hear. So that your flesh has no ability, or Satan has no ability to hide in that flesh, you know. Even though he might still be lingering about, he knows that, hey, wait, I'm being exposed and I have no authority in this kingdom, this realm. I guess that's best I can explain it.
Amen. Amen. Very well said, Dave. That's the walk right there. That's it. Praise God. Go ahead, Missy.
You know, this whole thing about confessing, you know, Dave, you doing that also, you know, in front of us all is a help to any of us that might mm-hmm. have an issue, like think, oh, that's just too embarrassing, or, you know, what are they going to think? And when, you know, when you do it, that helps someone else that's really apprehensive about doing it. So that's another positive thing to it. And one thing, too, is, you know, about confessing is when you bring it, when you confess it, it's bringing that darkness into the light, and it has to go, you know.
Amen.
And these are just some thoughts that I had about that.
Amen. Go ahead, Kurt. I'll unmute you, Beth. All right, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I guess the local guys here know already that I've been struggling with my truck dying when I'm out trying to run around or whatever. And so I took it to one mechanic. He kept it a couple of days, and he gave it back to me. And he surprised me. He said, just drive it and pray. He couldn't find anything wrong with it. So I did it, and it broke down several times with me. And then I went through the situation, you know, five times on the way into town, and at 7 miles, it broke down. And I was thinking, God, if you can just get me to a place where I can leave it, you know, and let them work on it. And it was Saturday, and they're closed here in Madisonville on Saturday. But the one that I took it to, the second one, was the guy was there for other reasons. And so he said he would work on it Monday. Well, Wednesday, I got sort of concerned because, you know, he hadn't called me. And I went up there and he says, Kurt, I just really hadn't had time. I've driven a few times and it's stayed running for me. And he said that, it'd probably be the next week sometimes. And I was getting real, I hate to use the word anxious, but I guess that's what I was getting. I was getting irritated. So I have a next door neighbor that also is a mechanic. And he said, well, if you can get the truck and bring it here, which was next door, and I could keep an eye on it or at least see it. So I did, and he put this meter thing on it, and let it run whatever, and he thought he had fixed the problem, and he had switched relays in the, from the one that serves the fuel pump in the, that is located in the gas tank. And the second mechanic was going to charge me like almost $700 to go through all of getting, lifting the body, getting the gas tank where it could get to it, removing and putting in the new one and whatever, And I'm on a fixed income, so I just, I struggle with that too. The third mechanic, or at least our next door neighbor, he switched the relays and everything, and he thought that had solved the problem. Well, I drove it, and it just quits running. And here you are sitting in the middle of the road, because you can't pull off the road in most of these little places here in Madisonville or out here in the country. So there I was, and so he had another mechanic that he sort of corresponds with over the phone about different problems they have, which is about 20-something miles from Madisonville. And he was saying he could take it over there, and he's got a bigger meter or whatever it is in his garage to, hook the automobile to and listen to it and whatever. And he said he could take it over there and leave it for a couple of days. Well, this morning I told David in our morning meeting that it was running like that and, still cutting out on me. And he says, Kurt, this is just a trial. So he laid hands on it. On the hood of the truck, and he was praying over it, and I just reached and got his hand and put it on me. I said, well, I know the truck needs prayer, but I do too, to make sure that my faith, stays strong. So this has been a real trial for me for the last couple of weeks, and that's what I was getting from Dave's situation. It doesn't matter what the trial is. It can, we're so accustomed to going to a mechanic with our car problems, this, that, and the other. And I know in my heart that God's wanting us to come to a place where we believe Him for everything, that our faith is strong enough to believe that God, because He created the whole creation, He can certainly fix a truck or fix a problem or whatever. So I finally come to the end of myself, and I'm just believing that God's going to do just that, that He's going to take care of this situation. And I just ask you guys to pray for me that I'll hang on to that faith and stay there until God's done the work. And that I'm sure there'll be another trial behind that, but God's going to help us through all of these. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Lord, for giving Kurt great and bold faith for his truck in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. We've already seen you repair numerous cars and trucks over the years, and we thank you, Father, that you have fixed Kurt's as well in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for touching Kurt with bold faith in Jesus' name. Amen. That anytime he prays, he knows that when he prays, it's going to happen, because that's what your word says. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay, anybody else? Yeah, Matt, go ahead, brother.
Well, since we're on the road of confessing, I might as well join in. It's kind of like Dave's scenario a little bit, where it started going into this fast and suddenly something just springs out of nowhere, and it was like, wow, where did that come from, Lord? And it it took me by surprise, that's for sure. But, you know, we started this fast, and then the Lord had called us to go somewhere and spread some books for the ministry, and so we did that. And while we're in this area doing that, when this came out of me, you know, I had my addiction to video games. And that came out, I mean, full blur when I went down there. And I just started sobbing that night, just crying out to the Lord. And I didn't want any of that. I still don't want any of that. I don't even know where that came from. It just came out of the middle of nowhere. But I'm confessing that, you know, I did fail, but it's no longer in me anymore, in Jesus' name. And, yeah, I definitely see a lot of people going through a lot of tribulation, especially during this fast, in the ministry local and the outreach, too.
Amen. Yep, there's a lot of trials going on now because God's getting his bride ready. We're fixing to go see God. I'm just telling you, it's fixing to happen. We're fixing to see that anointing from God, but he wants a clean, a spotless bride. And those vestiges of the things that we've kind of hold on to but trying to get rid of, he's bringing it up to the forefront now and showing us that we need to get rid of it. Amen. All right, anybody else? Yeah, go ahead, Dave.
I can say a long time ago I had the Lord visit me in my room here. It was in the middle of the night, and I knew he was here, and that was before I was getting cleaned up. I was still pretty filthy, really filthy, and I was in the ultimate filth. And, but I knew the Lord, and I knew his presence. I knew who he was. I just knew his presence was here. And I got to tell you, if you've got sin in your life, you're going to want to not be around the Lord. That's the whole feeling I felt. And I just thought, oh, my gosh, you know, I didn't feel like I wanted to be in his presence. But he was there to examine me at the time. And I wasn't ready to be there with the Lord. I wasn't ready for his presence. I would say now's the time for us to, you know, break free, let things go, whatever it is that's besetting us. Because when he comes and when he does come and we know his presence, we don't want to feel like we want to leave the room or cower or hide. We want to be there to say, oh, you know, Lord, we want to be ready to sit at his feet and listen to what he has to say and just be happy at his presence. I mean, it's, when he's around, nothing else fills the room. I can tell you that it's him. You know everything about the whole room's there. It's him. So you don't want to feel like you need to get out of that room. That's the only feeling I can tell you I felt was then. So if there's something in us that we need to get out, yeah, let's work on that now.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anybody else? Yeah, Judy, go ahead.
Unmute me. Oh, can you hear me? Nope. You can hear me? Okay. Ah, yay. Well, anyhow, this is probably a dumb thing, but today I was just thinking, I'm losing weight, and I wanted to gain weight, so I convinced myself that I could have this Lipton noodle soup. It had noodles in it, but I thought, they'll just slide down my throat like liquid. So I fixed the Lipton noodle soup. I didn't really think there was quite as many noodles as there was, that there was, but I was making myself okay, that it was okay, and I was asking the Lord, but I didn't really hear an answer, and I was just saying, okay, I heard an answer, but I really didn't. So I was just trying to make everything be okay, but the more I think about it, man, I shouldn't have done that. So I just want to confess that I did that, and I want to do better on this fasting and not try to talk myself into something else. So thank you, Lord, for bringing that to my attention. Thank you. I'm done.
Do you have a blender?
Sue does. She has it's a bullet thing that she puts stuff in and blends it. I don't.
Well, you can take that soup and put it in the blender and it's liquid and you can drink it.
Yeah. I was just thinking, oh, well, it'll just go down my throat. It'll be okay.
You can do that with a roast and gravy, too. I'm telling you. Now, there's all kinds of way to get a liquid diet going here now. I'm just saying. I don't know how you're going to get the biscuits that away, but I'm just saying that.
Try anything you can in that blender, huh?
No, I tell you, what we do, we put tomatoes and vegetables in the blender and drink that. It's good. Keeps us going.
Okay.
I just do it once a day.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever God wants you to do. Amen. Yeah. Go ahead, Dave.
I don't know if I haven't felt any guilt about it, but I actually got one of those protein shake drinks and did that with some juice.
Yeah.
It's liquid. So it's just something.
Yeah, I'm like Matt. That sounds nasty. But anyway, go ahead, Missy. Missy.
Today, I don't want to give you my gross details, but
please don't.
Like, yeah. Anyway, I was like feeling like today I was like kind of like weak and like really hungry because I had an experience. But anyway, I was feeling really weak and hungry. And I'm like, okay.
Wait a minute. You had an experience, huh?
Well, I'm only going to tell you what my experience was, and we'll just leave it at that. But anyway, I had this experience. So I was like earlier this evening, it was like maybe around 6 o'clock or something like that. I'm like, I'm not going to survive on the liquids that I've been doing, you know, and I knew I needed something a little more hefty. And what jumped in my head? Well, I have this one smoothie thing. I didn't read it real good, but it's a smoothie thing that I got from Aldi's, and it's cultured milk or something. Or I forget what it's called, but it has a little bit of blueberries in it, but it's a smoothie. And it tastes kind of like it has yogurt in it. But anyway, so I was just like, what jumped into my head was I wanted something that was going to be healthy, but with a little bit more substance to it, you know. And what came to my head was Panera, you know, go to Panera and get a smoothie. So I looked online to see what kind of smoothies they had. I knew they did. I never had one there. And I'm like, okay, Lord, can I go to Panera and get a smoothie? And I cast lots, and I got a head and a tail, and I'm like, okay. Well, then I was looking at the different ones. I said, can I get this one? Cast lots, didn't give me an answer. Can I get this one? Didn't give me an answer. I got a yes on a strawberry smoothie or a superfruit smoothie. But they have Greek yogurt, and I didn't know that until I got there. So I got a superfruit smoothie. And it's similar to the other thing that I was eating, and the Greek yogurt gives you more protein and stuff and all. So, but I know, and the Lord's telling me, Missy, this is not going to be a regular thing, but I knew I needed something with a little bit more substance.
Yeah, well, David has a drink that he says it tastes like milkshake, but David ain't a very good standard. As far as taste buds go, he'll put anything, you know. He told me one time, he said, did you know that you could eat a whole pine tree? I said, go ahead, brother. I like biscuits and gravy better though. I, He's not going to go for the pine tree. So I don't, and y'all remember the story when he got me to take a bite of that broccoli leaf. That was terrible. But anyway, he's not, when he tells me something's good, I have to back off and ponder it a little bit. Go ahead, Leah.
David is the current Yule Gibbons. He's eating pine nuts and stuff like that.
David's like Mikey, he'll eat anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got some green stuff down at Gizmo's today. It was in a bottle like a V8 juice thing, but it was green. I never seen the green junk, you know, and I said, I'm going to take it over to David and see if he'll drink that. I walked in the kitchen earlier and he had it and he put the other stuff in the same container that stuff is and was fixing to blend it all up. And I said, oh my, oh boy, what we got going here. But you know, he's got some concoctions that really tasted pretty good. So we hadn't been lacked for something to drink around here. That's for sure. He tuned up a watermelon and cantaloupe drink, yesterday, I think it was. And I got a little taste of that this morning. I'm just not much on that kind of stuff, you know. But it was okay. It was cold. That's about the best I can say. But anyway, you know what this fast is doing? It's going to bring, I believe, the body of Christ in one accord. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that with this fasting that everybody does, the bride, of course, has to be in one accord, right? And I believe that's what we're seeing. To tell you about a little bit of a victory, what is today? Today, Tuesday? Today's Tuesday. But I brought Blake back to Tennessee with me, my grandson back to Tennessee with me. Amazing, amazing supernatural experience that God put him through. And I'm not going to tell you what it is. I'm going to let him tell it Thursday night. It was a supernatural. The Lord just supernaturally took addiction away from him, from cocaine, heroin, meth, whatever else stuff he was using, you know. He had OD'd and the Lord took him some places there too. And so I'll just wait and let him tell it Thursday night. But just be heartened that God's hearing our prayers because of these fasts. Even before the fast, you know, he's answering our prayers. When I was in Arkansas, I didn't need anything. I drank water and milk mostly. And God honored that. And I was able to bring him back to Tennessee with me. He's over to college right now giving his testimony. So praise God. He's giving it at a Bible study over there. So I look for big things for that boy. And the other boy, his brother, is in a Christian rehab down South Arkansas. And he's doing quite well too. I was able to talk to him yesterday or day before. And he's doing real well. He's a Christian now. He's getting his life together. He's quit smoking. He's quit doing all of that stuff, you know. And it's the power of God. That's all it is. It's the power of God. Once you believe, he can take all that stuff away from him. And it's the power of prayer that brings them in. It's our prayers that bring them in. And we've all been praying for people, most of our, you know, for a long time. And he said he's going to do it this time. If we hold true to this fast and we hold true to doing the praying that he's instructed us to do, we keep on praying for these family members. We keep on praying for our country and the swamp up there, that God would drain that swamp. And we're going to see a miracle at the end of it. I believe it. Okay, anybody else? Well, let's pray for the people down in Texas. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we lift up your chosen down there, Lord, and we lift up all the people down there, Lord, and we ask and we pray, Father, that you allow no one else to die down there, Lord, because of the idiocy of the politicians down there, Father. And we think, and Lord, let it be a glaring example to the people how evil and corrupt they are. And Father, I thank you that this is going to shake up the evil left, Lord. And I thank you for bringing this out to light, for exposing these corrupt politicians for who they are and what they are, what they're about, Lord. They want to get rid of folks. That's pretty obvious to me. They want to get rid of folks. And Lord, I thank you for helping all of those poor folks down there and bringing them into high ground, Lord, where they can get something to eat and a nice warm place to stay, Lord. And I ask and I pray, Father, that you take care of all your families that are still out there struggling against this rain and the flooding that's going on in Houston, Father, that supernaturally that you would save them, Father. I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, that we're going to hear great testimonies of the angels coming to save folks. That'd be awesome, Lord. And a lot of people will be turning back to you, Lord. And thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, it looks like there's going to be a lot of uninhabited land after this is over with all this salt water up there on all that ground. And Lord, I ask that you disperse the population down there to higher ground, to places where they won't be worried about the floods anymore and the tsunamis and all that stuff that's coming, Lord. That you're chosen, you would have them get out of there, Lord. And I thank you for it. Lord, we lift up Wade and Jeanette down there in Lafayette and all your chosen over in that area, Lord, that you would protect them, keep them dry, keep them high, and keep them warm, Lord. And we thank you for that. And also, Lord, that they'd have plenty of food to eat and plenty of water to drink in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Father, for doing that. Amen. Anybody else want to pray on that note? Okay. Anybody else got anything they'd like to share? Yeah, David.
I did have a brief thought about, you know, what we're doing here as a group. And I kind of dwelled briefly on when you had, how many did they have at the time? I don't even remember. All the disciples that were in the upper room, the number.
Those 120.
Yeah, they were waiting for Jesus,
yep.
Waiting for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I can't help but think they were together. They were confessing sins. They were praying. They were fasting. They were doing just what we're doing. They're getting their hearts prepared for the Lord, you know. And so, and plus deliberating, you know, who is gonna take Judas's place. I mean, that stuff was going on. Of course, back then they felt like I'm not sure where they got that idea. They needed 12. I'm not sure where that came from, but they you know, who was it? Matthias got it. So, but it's interesting. I think that's kind of what we're almost in that same kind of a frame right here. If the Lord comes, when he comes, I think we'll be prepared.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Kurt, would you relate that dream you had about the golden thread? Do you mind doing that? I'm going to unmute you, brother.
Well, actually, this took place when we were down there in Pensacola. There was a couple that we were going to their house on a particular night, and the thought just came to me that you know, that to bind us together with cords that can't be broken, and that theme sort of followed me all the way up here. We've been here 7 years, or I have at this point, and it's still been something that has been in my heart, you know, and in my prayer that we would be bound together, you know, with golden threads that can't be broken. So that's all I have to say on it, I guess.
Amen. That's right. And I believe that's what God's been doing. You know, we've been talking about it for years on the conference call now, and I believe God's doing it now, and he's bringing us together in love and God's love. And he's breaking the yokes off of each one of us. You know, different ones have different yokes that they've asked God to remove for them, and they're doing it. And they're doing it. And God's doing it. And it's awesome. It's awesome to watch. Now, the thing that we don't want to do is to not do what he's asked us to do. And that is just sit apathetically without dealing with these things that the Lord has showed us has hindered our walk. We need to go ahead and confess them, just like Dave did, and just like Leon, all of us have done, you know, in the past. Confess those sins, and don't give that enemy any kind of darkness to smack us with, to come in the back door with. Excuse me. Amen. Because this is, hey, we're right here. Lord's told us that the bride is being chosen even as we speak. And those that want to get clean and are allowing the Lord to do that in them are the ones going to be in this bride. And it's going to be, I believe it's going to be here shortly, very shortly. Now, that's what I believe. But because of what the Lord has shown us, you know, just in the last little bit, we've had some awesome warnings from God about those that don't want to change, don't want to fellowship, don't want to do this, don't want to do what God wants them to do, what he's commanded them to do. And that, you know, they need to repent and come on in. Don't worry about, you know, somebody, what somebody's going to think. You know, who cares? The thing I care about is God and allowing God to do that work in me. You know, I know when I was back in Arkansas, I had some faults I had to repent of, and that was getting frustrated with family members. And I'll just tell y'all, you know, I had some problems with that, and I repented, and the Lord helped me, and I had some joy and peace. So, but that ain't going to happen again because God's in control, right? God's in control. Amen. Yeah, go ahead, Andrew.
Can you hear me? Okay, you know, I'm a divorced person, and I have a list of what jumps on a person when he gets divorced here. And these are these things that you have to overcome. Because, you know, I at the time I had two younger children. Now one of them's going to be married, and the other one is, he's 21 now. So, it's a little easier now, but, these things jump on you, and that's, rejection, guilt, condemnation, anger, fighting, jealousy, loneliness, bitterness, judgment, criticism, despair, giving up, brokenness, emptiness, and unforgiveness. All these jump on you at once. The jealousy was with the fighting, they work in tandem. And there's despair and rejection. And you look for the verses to counteract all these things. And It's heart wrenching to go through all this and to be attacked and casting it down constantly. There is one, however, that really has a tenacity to it for me, and that's criticism. It was an inherited thing, but I have a new inheritance in Christ Jesus. And it comes back and dabbles, even like if I'm looking out the window and watching some people walking down the street, criticism might come on me for those people, and I have to cast it down. And it comes from a very judgmental mother, actually, and it's in the family, you know. You can tell it is, and it's a hard one to fight against, because you know you would come up with these things that would pop into your head, and you really realize what's happening, and you got to fight it right away. And there have been days where it lingers on, you know, for a while. Especially you see this one person, and it reminds you of that criticism that came into your mind, because you're looking at that same person, and you're going, wait a minute, you know, this is always happening to me with this person that I see on the bus. You know, I don't even know their name or anything. You just got to fight that and fight it. And I to the point, you know, where I just hate this criticism thing, you know, this criticism spirit that tries to infect me, that, you know, it's really a bad thing, you know. And seeing as you are the only guys that I have for fellowship, because I don't go to any church here or anything, these guys are my church, and I'm church with you, and I have the list here on my list here, and it's been around for a while, this list, and it actually helps to write it all down, and so that you can combat it, and you know, sometimes you go, well, you know, this thing is attacking, and it can linger for a while, and then you want to get it off of you, you know. So when I started my fast, I started just with water, and I went for 3 days, and then I realized when he said liquid, it meant other things too. So I was reading in a certain place in the Bible, and it was in the book of Luke, actually, chapter 8. It's about, well, we know that we're supposed to have Christ in us, and we do have Christ in us in accordance to the cross and the resurrection. And Christ was healing a man that had many demons in him. And this demon said something here in chapter 8, verse 28, right near the end, about Jesus. And now you got to remember this in Colossians 1:27, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And this demon said, I beseech thee, torment me not. So with that Christ in you, that portion that you have in you of his life, of his glory, that torments those demons. The Christ in you torments those demons. And it puts you in a right mind. Jesus Christ put this person in a right mind. But now this Christ lives in you. So he'll put you in the right mind to renew your mind. You know, be renewed in your mind, as it says in Romans 12 there. I just found that reading this over so many times, and this is the first time I realized that with Christ, we are tormenting those demons. Because we have authority in Christ to send them. In this place, it says, depart unto the abyss, you know. Or he sent them into the swine at that point in time. Because they were actually trying to make a deal with Jesus. Don't send us into the abyss. Send us into these swine. And in the book of Mark, I ran into the same story there, and there was 2,000 of those swine that drowned themselves. And it was at the command of Jesus. We have a better covenant with better promises because Christ lives within us. At that point in time, Christ did this, and this is an example for us on the authority that we are to have. And I don't think sometimes we get a good grasp on that, you know. And we should grasp it more that if we're to put that old man on the cross, me, Andrew Swayeski, is on that cross, and now it's only Christ living in me. That's the torment for all the adversaries against the kingdom of heaven. And it was mind boggling this day when I was going through this chapter 8 of Luke on the calm in the water there, you know. A great calm came over me when I read that, and I was in such a peace when just praying some of these things that Jesus did for me in my life put me in such a peace. It was amazing. And it was from verse 22 down to the end, and in chapter 8 of Luke, and it was just amazing. And on a side note, we prayed for my son to get that job. He finally got a security clearance, and he did get his job. His job he wanted, so he's been doing it for a week already, so that's fun to hear that. And I did say to him, you know, you prayed for that, right? And he said, yeah. And I'm going to have a discussion with him about that next time he comes over anyway. So praise God. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
I reminded him about when he was about 2.5 years old, he prayed for a cat and it showed up on our doorstep. Like we all prayed for it. I have a picture of that cat. He's in a kitchen pot. Kind of joke. Amen. With the kids then.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, well, that's true. This subject that we're on tonight we just kind of evolved into it. It's unforgiveness, and criticism is unforgiveness, partly. It leads to that anyway. Amen. Praise God. You were talking about praying for that. I reminded Blake today. I said, you remember. Or it was yesterday, I said, you remember when I started telling you that the Lord told me you was going to be a preacher? He said, yeah, I didn't believe a word of it either, Papa. And I said, that's okay. I said, but you see what happened. He confirmed it, didn't he? Because last night in the meeting, he had some words from some other fellowship members that confirmed that. And so, praise God. Yep, and prayers work, y'all. They work. Okay, anyone else?
Hey, Michael.
Yeah, Marlon, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I'm just going to share a couple things, kind of like what we've been talking about. I know I've had a problem with criticism. I tried to not do that, but I know, listening to you guys and listening to David saying, you know, we can't do it ourselves. We have to give it to the Lord. And I think that's really helped. like Andrew was saying, I think in the past I've had condemnation and rejection and all the things you get. But I think this fast, I think, has kind of helped that. I think so anyway. And one of the other things I wanted to share was on the flood thing down there, I guess what the Lord's been kind of speaking to me is, you know, he's been telling people for years to move away from the coast, and I'm sure there's people down there who knew that and are still there. And same way, different places where they've had things on the coast. And that's really kind of for all of us. You know, if he tells us to do something and we don't do it, it might not happen right away, but sooner or later, it's going to happen. And so I think there's really something in that for all of us. And the other thing with the fast, one of the things I felt the Lord's been telling me is, you know, it's about being obedient to what he tells us to again. Because, you know, that when the gates, or I forget what the, anyway, he told them to march 7 times around the city and the walls went down. It was about obedience to what he told them. And so I think that's really something for all of us, to be obedient to what he tells us to do.
Amen. Yeah, he said obedience is better than sacrifice, didn't he? And that's what he wants out of us. He said love is obedience, to obey his commands. So praise God. Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you, Marlon. That was good. Yeah, Missy, go ahead.
Okay, on the subject of criticism, I had to apologize and confess to my husband, or, you know, apologize to him about being critical and nitpicking at him and stuff. And it was like after that, I don't remember if it was right after that or today or whatever, but the Lord spoke to me. He says, you've been struggling in believing for him because of the criticism. So if you have a family member or really anybody that you've been praying for, but, you know, even though you're praying for them and you're you're criticizing them, it's even if it's just only in your thought, that really that criticism is the opposite of faith, because you're looking at what you know, with your eyes at the situation, you have a tendency to criticize. Then, and you know, if you're doing that, well, you're not walking by faith, you know. I just wanted to say that, and Michael, you know that song that I sent you? It's About to Get Beautiful.
Yeah, that's a good song.
I think that would be an awesome song. To share with everybody, you know, what our eyes cannot see, with faith we believe.
Well, go ahead.
Second miracle. I don't know how to do it. Do you still have that?
Well, let me. What's the name of it?
It's About to Get Beautiful.
I knew that. Yeah, we'll try to get it on a little bit later, if that's all right.
Okay.
We'll try to do that.
Whenever you want to do it, but I just I was thinking about that when you were praying for Leonid's baby, and on iFight, you know, and you sharing about Blake and all, that it would just, I thought it was such an encourager for me the other day when I sent it to you again. And it just popped in my head again. I think it would be so encouraging for everybody. It's just a really encouraging song.
Is that by Alessia Cara?
Well, I don't know.
Okay. It's a beautiful moment. No, that ain't it.
No.
Okay. We'll try to find it.
Okay.
All right.
It's that group that's connected with Dustin Smith.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Dustin Smith.
But it's a woman that sings it.
Well, my screen's locked up right now. In the name of Jesus, I command you to quit that. Amen. Is that the name of the song, It's About to Get Beautiful?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, here it is. Bailey Raza. Okay. All right, I got it out, but let's go ahead and finish what we're doing here, and then we'll listen to it a little bit. All right, anybody else on unforgiveness or whatever you want to share, you know? Yeah. Missy, yeah, go ahead.
I'd want to take a minute and just, since everybody's kind of taking turns, I want to take a turn and talk a little bit about my struggles and what I'm kind of seeing in my life. I grew up in a Christian family. My parents were God-fearing. My family immigrated to America. When I was just a wee boy, 5 years old, or 7 years old, my parents came here as refugees from the Ukraine and Russia, and because of the persecution there. So I grew up with a really strong, God-fearing background, some really strong God-fearing heritage back in my background. But I came here to America, and I grew up, grew up here in this culture, and I grew up with computers and all that stuff, just like, I'm relating to some of the things that Matt was saying, about computer games and stuff. And all my friends were in computer games, and I got into it myself. And in fact, it was one of the things that I was really, really struggling with up until the point when my son Josiah was born. And I can say that frankly, all video games are absolutely of the devil. There's nothing good in them, whether they're, some people say all simulators are innocent. These little games that we play on our cell phones are innocent. They're not innocent. They're not innocent. And the Lord strongly was dealing with me, and I was resisting him for a very long time to wage war against that sin in my life. When my son was born and had that trauma and all that stuff and sickness and the demonic oppression, the Lord clearly spoke to me and said, you need to deal with your problems. You cannot go on like this. I want you to be in my fold, and doing the work of, that I want you to do for me. And one of the first things that I had to do was take all my online accounts, all these computer games, all the Steam and GOG, and everybody who's into that stuff knows what I'm talking about. I ended up having to throw away thousands of dollars worth of stuff, away, basically cancel all, terminate all my accounts, lose all access to all that stuff. And I did it. It was extremely, extremely painful to do because there are ties there. And I did that. But there are other things I'm struggling with. We grew up very poor in our family when I was young. We came to America. We were just dirt poor, living by whatever people would give us. At one point we lived in a homeless shelter. And it was like a 9-person family living in a homeless shelter. It was pretty miserable. So when I grew up, I made a commitment in my life that I would do everything I can to get my family out of that pit, And I'm pretty successful now, but with that came what I would call a very materialistic spirit. And that's something I'm dealing with right now. I'm a very, very materialistic person. I just want to come out and say that to everybody. I love to buy things. I like nice things. I work hard because I kind of have to. But at the same time, I take a lot of the money and I spend it on useless things, you know, hobbies. I I've got three kids now and I love buying toys for them. And I'm just constantly pursuing the, you know, things. It's an idol. And I know Paul wrote to the church and said, brother, keep yourselves from idols. You know, and I've got these idols in my, it's materialism, and it comes in many different forms. But, you know, the pursuit of these hobbies, tools, thing, you know, and because I have money, I go and do it, and it's wrong. And sometimes I justify myself because I send money to Ukraine, or I send money to Romania, or I send money to help family members and stuff. I sometimes justify myself and say, well, you gotta live a little, you know? But I know it's wrong, and I know that the Lord wants me to sacrifice myself, and it's extremely hard for me to come to terms with that, especially in a few matters. And I know that, you know, and it's even hard to ask God to take that out of my heart, you know? Like at one point, you know, the struggle with the gaming and stuff, that was extremely hard to do, to say, Lord, help me to turn away from that, because I've got thousands of dollars invested in this stuff. You know, I've got a super powerful computer that, frankly, it's insane the amount of money I sank into it. Now it just sits there collecting dust because I can't use it. I deleted everything. I got rid of everything. So there's no point in even having it, right? But it just sits there. And it was so hard to ask God to take that out of my heart, you know, to throw all those accounts away, to throw all that money away, all that collection of stuff. And now it's really, really hard for me to say, Lord, you know, free me from this materialistic spirit, from this constant pursuing of nice things, and because I enjoy them so much, I've collected so much things, and it's hard to say. You understand what I'm saying? It's like this burden that it's really hard to say, I'm tired of it. I do want to be free from it, but at the same time, it's like, oh. I don't know if anybody else relates to this.
Willie's got his hand up. Let's see what he's got to say.
I'm talking to everyone on my gaming laptop right now, except I don't use it for gaming anymore. So I can totally relate to you about how you feel. I dropped $1,700 on this laptop. I just spent money on brand new games. And then the Lord came to me, and he was like, this is everything that you possess that has nothing in me. And he took an inventory of everything I had, you know, and I had to throw those things away. When I tried to do it on my own strength, I went back and purchased it. You know, when dealing with things like that, it really, the power of God is necessary, because there are, you know, you've created ties to those things. It's almost like a marriage, you know. It's like breaking up with the best girlfriend you ever had. And I'm just telling the truth. Just like you talked to us, I had to talk to God just like that. I've been an artist for 32 years. You can't not begin to tell me, you know, Willie, you're never going to do artwork. But that's what God said. You know, he was like, you're not going to pursue an art career. Three times came this close. I wanted my name, you know, on different graphic novels and books and comic books. And, you know, I wanted, you know, signing my autograph on stuff. And I've talked to other, you know, published, you know, comic book artists that looked at my work and was like, wow, this is fantastic. What's your name? You know, but it wasn't something I could pursue. My artwork is a monster. It's a beast. And that's what it's like that in my life. Not only does it devour my time, it is like a marriage. It became like a marriage to me. You know, and I manifested, you know, Jezebel, you know, in my art. I was married to my artwork. You couldn't tell me any different, man. I was working on 12 stories at a time, doing illustrations for those stories at the same time. Constantly coming up with new ideas. I swear, you know, new ideas poured out of me like water out of a fountain. Sometimes I didn't even have to think of that stuff. That's how you know it's demonic. I had an idea after an idea after an idea after an idea. Was a complete perfectionist. And because of that, it was like a catalyst. So I was not only, you know, controlled, you know, and joined and tormented, you know, at the same time. And the torment came from being a perfectionist. It's just not right. Start over. I don't like this. Start over. And pride. Pride out the yin-yang, you know. Pride is one of the things you'll have to deal with when trying to get rid of stuff, you know, when trying to dumb down your life in order to walk in the spirit. And you truly, just like you had the conversation with us, we don't think about talking to God like that. You know, God is not 100 million miles away and then we throw a request out there way up into the heavens, you know, hope among those many thousands of billions of prayers that he'll be like, oh, hey, I just got to this. I know it's been 5 years. Oh, video games. All right, I'm here. And, you know, that's how we think about it. But God is our friend, and that's exactly how he wants us to talk to him. You know, just like you look at us, but so much more. You talk to him like that. God, you know, this is everything I can't do. He said, it is. You know, these things hold great value to me. You know, I'm like that rich young man, Lord. And I got these things, and, you know, I can hear you saying, you know, sell all that you have and come and follow me. That is impossible with me. You know, Father, I need, you know, the empowering of your spirit, you know. I need, you know, even when we're like, you try to get into the word and you're just like, wow, this is really boring. And so you keep trying to get in there and you're just really bored. And, you know, you have to start asking the Lord, you know, give me a hunger for the word. Open the word to me. You know, teach me how to read the word, you know. Open up my understanding. You talk to him. Talk to him. I don't get this. I don't understand nothing about this Bible. Every time I read it, it's boring. And you talk to him like a friend, like a father, you know, like the closest thing that you can think about. We've been all given those examples. We had best friends. We had great fathers. We had great mothers, you know, and God has given those examples to us in our lives to talk to him. He's not offended if you tell him what you can't do. He's pretending to do the things that you know you can't do. I knew I could not. In fact, I was playing my video game. I was playing Killing Floor, you know, when the Lord stopped me on that night. God was I wasn't thinking about, you know, reading the Bible or anything like that. I was playing Killing Floor. I was addicted to Killing Floor. Killing Floor for me was just like, bring it. And it was like the same wave of creatures. It just got harder. And I just enjoyed it. I enjoyed constantly killing in that game. It, you know, bring your heart to God. You know, it comes down to complete, you know what, God? It's nowhere in my heart to give up playing video games. I'm not going to joke about it. I'm not going to play around about it. If you told me right now to throw away my game and laptop, I couldn't do it. I love that thing. I still love the games I had to give up. God, you know, I'm very materialistic. I can't, you know, I got to have my things, you know. Talk to him, you know, spread it all out before him. You know, and then, you know, just like he said, Moses, you know, stand aside. Moses had to say to the people, you know, stand aside, you know, and see the power of God. And you ask for his power. You ask for his power. You ask for his strength. In fact, fast if you have to. You know what's going to happen when you start fasting? Every negative thought that can enter into your mind will come. It just will. You're going to have offenses will come. Whether those offenses are spiritual, whether those offenses come from your flesh, whether those offenses come from your friends. So don't be disappointed when every thought of the imagination gathers itself together. What are you doing? Oh, that's just crazy. I mean, you could at least let it sit there. You're not really doing anything with it. Hey, I mean, it's just, as long as you're not going back to what you used to do, you know, God is pleased. You know, the real conviction is what God is pleased with. What, you know, that's what he's pleased with. We're giving him that beat around the bush surface conviction. Pour out your heart to him. You know, tell him what you truly can't do. Don't hold it back. My mistake was giving God pretentious prayers. I knew, you know, what I really needed to pray about. But, you know, I would give him these, you know, carnal season prayers. Oh, great God. You know, Heavenly Father, you know, I just thank you. And God's like, why don't you? And he keeps addressing the same, poking at the same thing that I need to deal with that I really don't want to give up. But all he wants me to do is confess that to him. As soon as you confess that to him, it begins to lose its power. It really does. Well, you might say in your mind, well, he can see it just fine. You know, don't hide anything under that tent. You know, the person who hid that idol under the tent, it couldn't be hid from God, you know. Just do that, man. Just do it. I had to do it. It was very hard for me not to live for my art. It was very hard. You know, the hardest thing was my art. It was, you know, everything in my life. It was my friend. It was my comforter. You know, it was my enjoyment. It was my life. That's what it was. It, you know, I identified myself, you know, and we identify ourselves in the things we possess or, you know, our hobbies, you know, our past experiences. You know, God wants all of that information. You know, give it all to him. God, I was poor. I ain't like being poor. I thought poor was garbage. I couldn't even stand my mom and dad because we was poor. That's why I got things right now. That's why I work so hard because I hate being poor. And you wouldn't believe how many things would begin to come forth up out of your heart. The rooted things that you know, and the Lord says, you know, he'll uproot those things, you know. But yeah, just, you know, that's the best advice I can give. Because I had to do it. You know, when God took an inventory of everything, I didn't throw away anything until I received the power of Christ to do it. And I'm just telling you the truth. You know, faith comes by hearing. He gave me the ears to hear, you know. He empowered me. He strengthened me to do it. You know, and it came by the word of God. He spoke to me, and, you know, I was able to do it. And so that same breath that gave us life in the beginning, you know, is that same breath that will give you a life free from those things that rule over your heart. Don't be disappointed. Don't be like, oh, God, don't get on the guilt train. Don't get on the condemnation ship. Just, you know, lay it all out before him. I remember I used to get angry if somebody disturbed me on a video game. Oh, man, somebody calling me. And it'd be a believer in Christ. Oh, man, I got to stop and talk about the Bible. Oh, hey, bro, yeah. I would speed that person off the phone. Yeah, God bless you. Oh, you want me to pray with you? Oh, Lord Jesus. All right, oh, yeah. Heavenly Father, just bless this person. Oh, bless you too, bro. Yeah. And I'm back on the game. I'm only telling you like it is, man. That's the person I was, you know. But, you know, just lay it out, man. God will get rid of it. Just lay it out. Don't hold nothing back. Whatever you decide to hold back, that's the root issue. It's part of one of the root issues. Your flesh is going to be like, don't confess that. The demons will be like, no, bro. But you got to do it.
I can tell you, I mean, you know, the Lord has freed me from the whole computer game thing.
Cool, yeah.
That was completely of the Lord. You know, I initially, I got scared. When my son was born, I got really scared. I knew God was getting a hold of me. I knew it, like, you know, like the back of my hand, I just knew God was just speaking to me. So I got scared, and I instantly went and deleted some of the more violent type of games and stuff, you know, things that I thought were really bad. I knew were bad. I deleted, but God never stopped talking to me. He just kept pressuring me, you know, this is not good either. And then pretty soon he got to the point where he's like, you need to go and terminate all your accounts. There's thousands of dollars in those accounts.
Yeah.
He's like, you need to get rid of it. You're just going to go right back down and download it, you know, get rid of it. So it was the hardest thing to say, Lord, well, give me the strength to delete it. You know, I didn't want to delete them. I didn't want to terminate the accounts. And I didn't want to ask God to give me the strength to do it either. Because I knew the value behind all that. And I knew that if I asked God to do that, he would do it. And I didn't want to. But I did. I broke down and said, Lord, give me the strength and the faith to do it. And he did, just like that. And like one day I come home and I'm like, that's it. I terminated everything. And so now I'm free and clear and I don't regret it. The materialism that I'm talking about now, you know, well, for instance, one thing is, you know, I like to buy nice quality things. I'm not like super well off, but I like nice things. I like quality things. I don't like things that will just break down fast, you know, or buy like cheap furniture or something. So I want nice things. Like, and then when my son was born, my first child was born, I got into this whole Lego business, you know, like, you know, what kids don't like Legos, you know? I love Legos. I grew up with Legos. So now, but it became an idol in my life. All of a sudden, Lego, kids' toys, okay? I'm an adult, but kids' toys are an idol to me. And I am outright confessing to you guys that Lego is an idol to me because I go and buy them. I don't even get to play with them because I don't have time. I don't get to build them, but I love building them. You know, I just love to put them together, build stuff, and they just look so awesome. I've spent thousands of dollars on Lego. I got so many Lego, I don't know if anybody has that much. But I know that the Lord is convicting me about it. He is convicting me that it's a materialistic pursuit that I, and frankly, it takes up my time. because I have to maintain it. You know, I have to keep track of it. And it's not just Lego, but it's like tools, you know, books, collections and old things, antique things, you know, all of it just drags your life down. Because, and yes, I'm now relating to what you're saying, you know, anger comes from that because somebody disrupts you or you don't have the time to maintain your things. So like, I don't have time to maintain the things that I have and I get angry because somebody gets in my way. Anyway, so that is my struggle today. And I'm noticing, you know, I'm noticing that this anger is now in my children and they're becoming just unmanageable in many ways. They're young. They shouldn't be the way they are, but they are. And I know that it's demonic because, you know, they're just young troublemakers. And it's like my house is turning upside down. My son is sick and it's giving us a headache. My wife is having a hard time. I'm having a hard time internally. And then on top of that, my other two children are just being disruptive in our house. And so I really do want to break down before the Lord and get rid of everything in my life that's dragging me down. And you know, I'm a little bit behind on this whole fast thing because, well, I just got done with one fast, fairly long fast, and I thought, well, maybe I'd take a couple weeks and break before I go into it and another time. But then all of a sudden UBM's going into this fast. I get the whole thing about fasting. It truly is a help. And then my mom just called me the other day and she shared this dream that she had about me. And I know it's of the Lord. She had a dream where we're walking through a forest and I'm on her left side and I'm kind of straying, just kind of separating from her a little bit on the left. And she says that there's these three moose that come out. This is her dream. She sees these three moose, one real giant moose, and then a medium size and a little one. And I'm trying, and I'm basically, she's saying that she sees me trying to, you know, shoo these moose away. And I'm, to an extent, successful. But then at one point, this giant moose just turns around and with, you know, just super angry, just mean thrashing type of, you know, he just gets violent and turns on me and he runs in my direction, just thrashing. And she wakes up. She says, but I knew in my spirit that when that moose hits whoever he hits, hey, nobody coming alive out of that one. You know, he was just so angry and violent. And he was going towards my direction. She woke up. And I clearly know that this is, you know, this is the devil just getting really violent in my life. He's this constant beating that I'm getting is like that moose. And I'm just praying that I come out of it and you know, just humble myself before the Lord and ask him for his mercy.
Yeah, go ahead, David. David's got something he wants to share with you.
Well, I see that as a pretty good sign. Actually, the mooses are definitely the demonic realm. But, you know, the idea that the one's getting angry and coming at you is because you're having this victory over them.
Maybe so, yes.
Absolutely. And you're right now, this is how you're getting your victory, too. And you're bringing this thing out. You're letting everybody see it. You're seeing it. You're not hiding anything, which is just wonderful. You have to do that. It gives you. You just came off a fast, so I'm not going to tell you, hey, you got to go back on another fast because you know you know the benefit from it. And you can't just go back to back on fast. It don't work.
Well, I've had a 3-week break, so I'm
all right.
I'm
all right.
Back.
All right. If you can do it, that's fine. I'm not going to put any legalism on you, but
I think you're seeing Satan, like your mom, seeing a good thing to show you that, hey, listen, you're up against a strong one. Yeah, but I don't think it's something you can't beat. We've all been able to beat our demons here. It doesn't mean that we don't have to struggle with it, but it could be a warning that there is something coming, and that you're going to have a strong struggle with one, and you're able to push the other one aside, but you got a strong one coming. Go ahead, Michael.
You remember that dream that David had about bigger, and smaller. When the thing would say bigger, he'd try to grow up, and then David said, no, smaller, and the demon would go back down. So, and what he what he got out of that was is our warfare against it. We have to believe. Amen. But, hey, this is good stuff. Go ahead, Lennon.
And, you know, in her dream, she didn't see that I wasn't victorious, but she knew that if that moose hit anybody, it would pretty much just wipe you out. So I'm not saying that, you know, she's not saying that she saw me being defeated, but she said there's clearly a danger there, and she felt it in her dream, this burden to cry out on my behalf, you know. And I told, and she's like, you know, maybe she's telling me, she's like, you know, Leo, maybe the, you know, dream's a dream, you know, it's nothing. And I said, no, Mom, what? You just don't realize what I'm going through right now. You're just confirming to me, you know, what I'm going through right now. This is clearly, you know, God saying that, you know, I need to really stand firm and humble before myself, before the Lord, and not fight in the flesh, because I think I started to fight against the devil with my own mind. You know, this whole thing with my son. And yeah, you know, I fasted for 3 weeks. I did. I fasted for 3 weeks. I've already told you guys that. I've shared that here on the program. But I think, I don't think I learned all the lessons that I should have learned. And in a way, I thought, you know, I thought that just because of my fast, I need to see results. I need to see big change in myself and my kids. And I wasn't seeing it all the way I wanted to see it. I wanted to see more. And I think I forcefully started to resist the devil, you know, and it wasn't so much of the spirit as it was maybe my own mind and my own understanding. It wasn't so much of me laying down like a dead man and having the spirit of God just move and change things. It was more, you know, I'm a firstborn. I'm the oldest child in my family, and a lot of this stuff comes with that, you know. And so I am a perfectionist, and I'm a strong-willed person, and I have a you know, I know what I know what I know type of attitude, you know. And so I think in a way I try to do things in my own mind, and I think maybe in a way God's proving to me that, hey, you can't resist the devil on your own. You know, you need my grace. You know you can fast 60 days for all, you know. But if there's no grace behind it, you're not going to overcome this moose. He's going to just trample you wild, you know, straight into the ground. And so in a way, I think it's speaking a couple things to me. In a way, it's speaking to me that I, you know, that the moose is, you know, that the devil is angry because I am seeing a lot of victories. But at the same time, I know that I can't do it on my own, and I need to be careful and really, really just, you know, humble myself before God and cry out to him for every little thing, and resist getting angry. Because, I mean, at one point I was actually getting angry because my son was suffering still, you know, after all that I've done, after all that I've, you know, confessed. And I have a fellowship here locally that I also attend. It's a Russian-speaking fellowship. It's not an organization or anything. We just get together and we fellowship. And so we have a, you know, we have our own ministers and that are ordained of God. You know, we're not. And so I, you know, I've called upon them. I've confessed my sins. I've done a lot. You know, I've done a lot. And I guess I just wasn't happy that I didn't see everything the way I wanted it to be. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely it does. But you know what, God wants us to do is to, once we pray, is just give it to Him. Forget, you know, it's hard to forget sometimes, but just believe that He's working in that. What I'd like to do, Lynn, it is play this song. But while I'm playing this song, I'd like for everybody here to pray in the Spirit for Lynn and his family, if that's okay with everybody. Okay? I'm going to share this song that Missy wanted to hear, and then we'll just pray in the Spirit wherever you are for Lynn and his family. Is that okay, Lynn?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Wait a minute.
Beautiful, we're expecting a breaking through. We know your healing power. We know you're raising us to life. We know you're breaking through. We know your healing power. We know you're raising us to life. We know you're breaking through. We know you're healing power. We know you're raising us to life. We know you're breaking through. We know you're healing power. We know you're raising us to life. We know you're breaking through. We know you're healing power. We know you're raising us to life. We know you're breaking through.
Appropriate. Praise you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Amen. All right. Anybody got any comments before we close out tonight? Yeah, Leon.
Yeah, I'd like to tell Leonid, I haven't had this happen to me in quite a while, but as I was praying in the spirit, I kept yawning. And I had this experience once before, several years ago, a few years ago, whatever, on the outreach when we were praying for somebody. And I realized, you know, that that is bondages being broken, spirits leaving and all. And I just want to encourage you, Enid. I know that was for you, that because, I mean, I'm not even tired. I'm not tired. I just kept yawning. I kept yawning, and I kept yawning. The Lord's doing an awesome work in freeing you up and your family. Just
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. I believe it. All right. Anyone else? Did you have something, Leon?
Yeah, I was going to say to Leon that, about your mother's dream. I believe that you said that you were on her left side and you were kind of veering off from where she was at. Was that correct?
Yes.
Okay, well, that would indicate to me that you were veering off, you know, that you were not walking the narrow path, but you were starting to widen out. That might be what you were talking about, trying to solve all this stuff in your own mind as opposed to going to the Lord. Now, if you're a believer, a true believer, and you tell those moose to depart, then they're going to do it. But now if one starts to come back, and I'm not disagreeing with you, what you said, Dave, so I hope you don't take it that way. But what I see in that is that you've lost some of your power there, because that's why that moose is coming back. And he's attacking you because some of your power is gone, or you don't have the full power that God has for you, because you're starting to move off to the left. The left always indicates the goats, and the right always indicates the sheep, you know, where you're serving the Lord. And the goat is the left, the Democrats, the factious, the riotous, the rebellious, and so forth. So if you're in that category, then you may not have some power there, and that's why that the big moose is coming back at you. So I would encourage you to get back on the narrow path. That's where Jesus is. That's where the power is, and that's where you'll have your victory. So your mom, the Lord gave your mom that as a warning to you, to let you know that that's what's occurring. So I'm through.
Okay. All right. I'm kind of believing like Willie. Just give it to the Lord. Absolutely surrender everything to the Lord. That goes for all of us. Surrender everything that has hindered our walk to the Lord. Give it to Him. And then get in the Word and pray. Look, praying in the Spirit builds your faith. Praying in the Spirit builds your faith. Each individual that prays in the Spirit in his own closet, you know what I'm talking about, out when you pray, that edifies you. That builds your faith up. That's what helps me a lot of times. I pray constantly in the Spirit. I might not do it out loud, but I do it in my mind. I do it in my under my breath. I do it, you know, whatever. And it does. It builds your faith. And it gets you to that point to where you can, like Leon said, you can come back and you can get after that big moose, and he's got to go. The big moose won't be nothing but a little old bitty, what you call it, when you get through. But he's given us the authority, and he's wanting us to accept that authority and utilize it. So I think this praying in the Spirit tonight has got you where God will. Praise God. I've got you where God can work in you now, because I just believe that our prayers work. Go ahead, Dave.
Also, just consider this. I have to think about this, too. I mean, some of the things we go through and our struggles, they aren't necessarily meant to crush us, but they're made us to build us up so we can be warriors for God. And we're mm-hmm. all going through our own individual struggle. But if we didn't have that, we didn't have that push against us, we would be sitting on our backsides. We would mm-hmm. be kind of worthless saints. So we're all going to have our struggles. If you don't have a struggle, you're not going to be very strong for the Lord. You're not going to be able to fight the battle and do His battles, because you need to have that war inside and around you so you know how to fight it.
Amen. Be encouraged, brother. You got quite a number of people praying for you and your family now.
Oh, I really am. I really, really appreciate it.
Yeah.
It's been a real blessing.
Yeah, it has to me, too. It really has. We'll continue this Thursday night, if that's all right with everybody. continue it Thursday night. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I come to you humbly, Lord, and I thank you for opening up our hearts to one another to confess these things that have hindered us. We all want to be right in your stead, Lord. We want to be right in your will, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that we are getting there. You're placing us there. You're getting us to that point where we all want to be, and that's completely in your will, Lord. You know, Lord, just like Willie was talking about, we just come to you like your child, and we ask you to help us in these struggles. We ask, Lord, that you help us and show us the things that we need, Lord. Give us dreams. Get each one of us dreams so the next time we meet, Lord, we can come back and say, look, the Lord has encouraged me and told me to tell you this or whatever, Lord. We long for that kind of fellowship with you, Lord. And even lifting us up, you know, hey, you did a good job this past week. You did a great job. You got rid of this, or you got this, you dealt with that. Lord, that's what we need. We need that friendship with you, Lord. We need that companionship, not only companionship, but love from you, that grace from you, Lord, to talk to us like a daddy and a father would. We thank you, Lord, that you're doing that. We thank you, Father, for the work that you're doing in every one of us. Lord, be with us tonight. Give us a good night's sleep. I thank you, Lord, that tonight Leonard and his wife are going to get a good night's sleep in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for that. And I thank you, Lord, for all the good words that were spoken tonight. And I thank you, Lord, that we're going to continue this Thursday night, and we're going to have some more victories to talk about. And we praise you, Father, for the work that you're doing in us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right, folks, let me unmute everybody.